I am so glad you have joined us for part three of our series titled Refuel. A few years ago, Reuters news agency reported that a South Korean man died after playing an online video game called StarCraft for 50 hours straight. This man, who just simply is known in this article by his last name, Lee, he sat down at a local internet cafe and spent the next 3 days playing this online game. He stopped only for short, quick trips to the bathroom and a quick nap on a cot set up there where he was playing this game. After a chunk of time, his mom and his friends tried to intervene, realizing he was going too long, not stopping, not taking breaks, no rest. They went and confronted him, and Lee made a famous last statement. He said, "I will stop as soon as I finish this game." A few months later, he collapsed. His friends rushed him to the hospital, and he died shortly after arriving. When all was said and done, local officials simply said this: the cause of death is heart failure stemming from exhaustion. Think about that. Heart failure stemming from exhaustion. I wonder if in our world today a similar diagnosis could not be made of many people. I wonder if there are a lot of people that are right on the verge of perhaps not heart failure, but physical failure, or relationship failure, or emotional failure, because they are so exhausted. It's no wonder that this is true of our world today, because we have been in crisis mode as a whole world for almost a year, and we know that continual, constant crises are exhausting. Dallas Willard, a former professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California, said this: if you're going to successfully make it through a moment of crisis, then your success is going to rest largely and essentially upon the depths to which you prepare your whole person wisely and rigorously for this moment. You will have to be prepared mind and body. So looking back over the last year of crises, we begin to wonder, was I adequately prepared for this moment, for this year of crisis? Perhaps a more important question is this: what do we do now? Now that we're feeling weary, now that we're feeling exhausted, how do we refuel the tank? How do we make sure that we're ready for whatever might happen tomorrow or next week or next month? Well, we know that Jesus extends an invitation to every single one of us. We've been talking about it each Sunday during this series. Jesus says to everyone who's weary, exhausted, He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." We know that this invitation that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 11 is really an extension of the rhythm of Sabbath and rest that God the Father, our Creator, put into place when He created this earth, when He created you and me. God created what is called Sabbath and rest because He knew that our bodies and our souls were designed to need regular refreshment, regular refueling, regular refocusing. We would need it every day. And so God put into place evening and night for rest and day for work. And then He put into place the weekly rhythm of rest that God called Sabbath. Last week, we talked about how God wants to refuel our souls through this regular rhythm of rest. And today, we're going to spend a moment talking about how God wants to refuel our bodies through this thing called Sabbath and rest. Now, I know that we often think that there is a complete separation between our bodies and the sense of spiritual life. We often think that they never ever go together. But friends, I want to remind you that while our bodies are not eternal, they are going to decay, we are going to die physically. While they're not eternal, they are important. While we are alive on this planet, the way we treat our bodies is a vital part of our spiritual journey. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said, I want to encourage you to give your entire being to God, your bodies to God. The Message translation talks about Paul's words like this. Paul saying, I want you, God helping you to take your everyday life, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around, and place it all before God as an offering of worship. In another letter, Paul wrote the words to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. He said, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So honor God with your body. You see, far from being separate from our spiritual life, our body is a part of the central expression of our life with God. Another Dallas Willard quote, he said, for good or for evil, the body lies right at the center of your spiritual life. You see, God cares about every single area of your life. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to flourish in every single area. So we see God calling us to establish a rhythm of rest, a rhythm of Sabbath into our lives. This truth can be seen so obviously when you look at God's instructions to the nation of Israel after He frees them from slavery in Egypt. Think about this for a moment. Israel, the nation of Israel, had lived as slaves for over 400 years in Egypt. They had never known what it was like to have a day off. They were simply treated as tools of production in making pyramids. They were machines. They worked 7 days a week all year long. Now imagine how deeply ingrained constant work must have been for them. They had never known anything else. The people alive at this moment had never known anything other than constant work. They had never observed or experienced a rhythm of work and rest. They had neither the permission nor the choice to do so. Living for them meant performing one task after another, and one day just simply blurred into another. So when God frees them from Egyptian bondage, when He frees them from slavery, one of the first things He does is He affirms that they are sacred human beings made in His image. He says to them, in all of the things that I have you do and I want you to do as My people, one of them is I want you to honor the Sabbath. And God, in effect, had to say to them, I know this is going to be different than what you've been doing. This is going to be different than what you're used to. It might even feel awkward at first. But just like a fish is created to live in water, God says, I created you to live according to My design, and My design requires that you rest. God wants us to know that our bodies are designed to be refueled through rest. Because the Sabbath was so critical, so important, such an important part of life lived in a way that honors God, the Israelites, as they're trying to learn how to be the people of God, they wanted to make sure that they took seriously this command for Sabbath and for rest. And so they began to put into place rules and regulations to help people pay attention to the Sabbath. Now, in our world today, we often think of Sabbath when we hear that word as simply a list of thou shalt nots. Unfortunately, that's what it had become when Jesus walked on this earth. The Sabbath had become an occasion for absurd legalism. Now, initially, the motives of the religious leaders were probably appropriate. They wanted people to take seriously God's call to the Sabbath. And yet, over the years, they wound up identifying 39 different categories of work that you had to avoid. For instance, reaping a harvest, preparing a meal, or lifting a burden, those were all categories of work that you had to avoid. And so an obvious question became, well, what does it look like to do these things? For instance, you could say, what does it actually look like to carry a burden or lift a burden? If I'm not allowed to do that on the Sabbath, what exactly does that mean? Well, you might be interested to know that they defined lifting a burden as lifting anything that weighs more than 2 dried figs. And if you did that, you were violating the Sabbath. Can you imagine? That's just one example of hundreds of rules that were put into place to keep people from breaking the Sabbath. And the rules were so restrictive that if you even thought about work, you could be punished. That's the environment that the Sabbath had become. It had gotten so far away from the heart of God. And so Jesus, as he's ministering, he tries to help people understand the heart of the Heavenly Father regarding Sabbath. And he says to them, I need for you to know that as you are implementing the Sabbath, as you are living out this invitation of God to rest, you come to me and in me you find rest. And he says to them, written down for us in Mark chapter 6, verse 27, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, but not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. You see, Jesus, he reframes the Sabbath from a specific time to a principle. And he reframes the Sabbath from what we shouldn't do to what we should do. Jesus says this isn't about what you should avoid on the Sabbath. This is about what you should do. You should worship, because that'll refuel your soul. And you should rest, because that will refuel your body. See, Jesus wanted us to know that experiencing Sabbath rest is about us pressing the pause button on the hectic pace of life, pressing the pause button on all the work and all the tasks that are in front of us, pressing the pause button on anything that causes us to just race from here to there. And it's in this pause that we worship God, and it refuels our souls. It's in this pause that we rest, and God uses that rest to refuel our bodies. Now, there's no question that this can be a counter-cultural idea. And it can even rub some people the wrong way. Sometimes it seems to fly in the face of American work ethic. Workaholics and type A personalities struggle with the whole concept of how do I actually rest and do what I'm supposed to do. But when you look at Scripture, and when you look at a verse that we have talked about a couple of times in this series already, you discover that Paul says, if you are going to be a person who is being renewed every day, then you need to be a person who honors Sabbath rest. When you look through Scripture, you discover that our willingness to rest is really a matter of trust. It's a matter of trust. Sometimes we think that rest and a rhythm, of a good healthy rhythm of work and rest is a problem of scheduling. But it's really not a matter of scheduling. It's a matter of, do I trust God? Do I trust God's design? Do I trust His design? Knowing that I am a human being created by God from the dust of the ground, and God knows my energy levels and all of my abilities and my need for refueling and re-energization, do I trust God's design? When I choose to live with a healthy rhythm of rest and work, I really am declaring, God, I trust you. God, you are the center and the source of this life. You are the beginning, the middle, and the end of my existence. And when we honor God's design, we are really saying, God, I acknowledge that I am not here by accident. I am not simply a conglomeration of cells doing stuff that makes no sense and has no meaning. But when we honor God's design, a healthy rhythm of rest and work, we discover and we declare that I am God-designed and I have a God-given purpose, and that purpose can only fully be realized when I live by God's plan. Our willingness to rest is really a matter of trust. Do I trust God's design? And let me ask you another question. Do I trust God's provision? His provision. That means, do I believe that God will provide for my needs? Do I believe that God can help me accomplish more living by His design than if I ignore the need for rest and refueling and just simply work like a maniac 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? It sort of reminds me of the issue of generosity and giving God the first fruits of our life, which we are called to in Scripture. You know, if we are going to be generous people and if we are going to give God the first fruits of our life, which is talked about in Scripture as the first 10%, we believe as Christ followers that God can do more with the 90% than we can if we just hoard everything for ourselves. And God says, if you honor me with the first 10, then I will help you accomplish more with the 90 than you could ever do on your own. And so we determine, God, we're going to follow your plan. We're going to follow your plan, and we trust you to provide more in that 90 after we've given you the first 10 than if we kept everything to ourselves. We make the same declaration for God's provision with a healthy rhythm of rest and work. God, we believe that you can help us with our time, with our energy, with our ability to accomplish more with a healthy rhythm of rest and work than we can by ignoring what you say, by pretending to be gods ourselves, and designing our schedule to be workaholics. When we follow God's example, when we set the right boundaries, when we put that healthy balance of rest and work into our lives, it allows us to live full lives with what God meant for us to do, not just what we think we are supposed to do. This amazing gift of rest and Sabbath to refuel our souls is so integral to you and I experiencing all of the blessings that God wants to put onto and into our lives. And when we refuse to refuel through rest, we set ourselves up for unhealthy consequences. We know this already, but let me just list a couple of them for you. When we refuse to refuel through rest, we find there are unhealthy consequences physically. We intuitively know this. We know that if we ignore the need for rest, eventually it will take a huge toll on us physically. And yet often, we ignore that something inside of us that says you desperately need some rest. We ignore it because we think we're too busy. We think there's so much that's required of us. But author Wayne Muller writes, if we do not allow for a rhythm of rest into our busy lives, often illness will force us to take a rest. We see it everywhere in our world today. People who are so filling their lives with one activity after another. Parents who are filling the lives of their children with so many activities, their kids get sick all the time because they never have an opportunity to rest and refuel and be re-energized. And parents find themselves running until their bodies absolutely give out. Not only do we have this physical unhealthy consequence of our bodies breaking down, but it affects us even being able to function normally. In fact, I read a study recently where they asked subjects to go on 6 hours of sleep a night for 2 weeks straight. 6 hours of sleep a night for 2 weeks straight. Then they tested those people. And they discovered those people who had only had 6 hours of sleep a night for two straight weeks, they functioned with the same level of impairment as someone who was legally drunk. When you and I refuse to refuel our bodies through rest, there are all sorts of unhealthy physical consequences. We also know there's unhealthy relationship consequences. When we refuse to refuel, we find ourselves running on empty. Empty physically, empty emotionally, and we have absolutely nothing to give to a relationship. And we discover that it's almost impossible to have a healthy relationship on an emotionally empty tank. We have nothing to give. And when we find ourselves with nothing to give, we find ourselves short-tempered. Harsh words are quick to be spoken. Almost everything feels like nails on a chalkboard to us. We're easily offended. And we've all probably been there. There have been times when Val and I have walked into the house after an incredibly busy, hectic season, and we have said to each other, this is not a night for any kind of serious conversation. This is not a night for any disagreement because I have nothing to give. And there's going to be a blow up or a blow out. So we need to be extra careful tonight. We've all been there. And you and I, when we find ourselves not refueling through rest, there are relationship consequences. There's consequences in some other ways. There's consequences in our productivity. We sometimes act like rest and sleep is a luxury, an indulgence, and so we're going to sacrifice that so we can be more productive and accomplish more. And yet just the opposite is true. When we refuse to rest and refuse to sleep, we become less productive. Cheating our rest is really, it's almost like maxing out a credit card. Initially, you think there's a benefit. You got all the stuff you wanted. But the bill always comes due with interest. And in our physical lives, when we cheat ourselves out of rest, the bill always comes due. We might think we've accomplished more initially, but the bill comes due with decreased health, decreased relationship viability and vitality, relinquished and decreased mental ability. Now we say to ourselves, why would we do this? Because we have bought into the idea that there's so much to do that we don't have time for rest. We rob ourselves of this opportunity to be productive. Some of you may have heard the old story about a wagon train that left St. Louis to head to Oregon. From that era when trains were happening all the time, wagon trains, settlers moving out west. And this particular wagon train, they made it a habit of taking a day of rest every week. So they were honoring this weekly rhythm of rest. They did it all the way through the fall season, but as winter approached, some of the group began to panic in fear that they would not make it to their destination in Oregon before weather got really wintry and snow made the journey more difficult. And so they began to grumble and complain and talk about too much rest being taken. And they decided that they were not going to rest at all. They were going to drive the animals and drive themselves 7 days a week to get to their destination faster. And the tension became so great amongst those travelers and settlers that the group who wanted to not rest decided to go off on their own. And the other group said, we are going to continue to honor this rhythm of rest and work. Do you want to know who arrived first? I think you can guess. The group that rested arrived at the destination first. Because they discovered, as all of us discover, that both people and horses were refreshed and refueled by that day of rest. And they were able to travel faster and more efficiently after they have rested than the people who constantly drove themselves with no break. When you and I refuse to refuel our bodies through rest, there are consequences. Productivity-wise, relationship-wise, physically, there's even consequences with our creativity. You know, our minds are particularly active when we rest, when we sleep. They integrate new information that we've learned during the day. They process memories. They sort out significant and meaningless information. Even dreaming is a critical part of this process. And if our work depends on creativity and insight, and whose doesn't, then rest and sleep are essential to us being creative. When we are weary, when we are tired, we can say goodbye to creative thoughts and creative problem solving. God said from the very beginning of creation, rest and Sabbath are so important. I want you to do this every night. I want you to do this every week. Jesus said, if you're weary, come to me and I will give you rest. This is an incredibly important invitation. It's an incredibly important gift. And I want to remind you that Sabbath rest involves celebration and joy. It involves celebration and joy. It's part of the reason why this is such a critical part of our lives. When you look at the very beginning of human history, we're told that God, after finishing creation, He proclaimed that it was very good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God was delighting over His creation. And the Hebrew phrase there that is translated very good, it communicates celebration. It communicates completion, wonder, joy. It means that God stopped all of His work, and as He rested, He delighted in His work. He celebrated His work. He celebrated us because we were a part of His creation. Now, I know it seems odd to us to think about God celebrating and delighting, and sometimes it even seems odd for us as Christ followers to think about the Sabbath including celebration and party. And I think maybe the reason why we think it's odd is because of the way that pleasure and fun and delight has been distorted by our culture. And I wonder if our society has distorted the view of pleasure and delight because as Christ followers, we've not celebrated the way we should, the way God calls us to. Because when you look at God's design, you discover that part of Sabbath is indeed celebration, specific time for celebrating where we are, what God is doing, the work that we've accomplished, celebrating relationship, celebrating the peace, the joy, the delight that we have in this life. God said there's a daily rhythm to this. There's night and evening and rest, and then there's day filled with activity. God said there's a weekly rhythm to this. There's a work rhythm, and there's a rest rhythm that needs to be put into every week. And God even in the Old Testament designated specific times for festivals. Each year there were festivals that were times of remembrance and celebration. You can read about it in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. There were annual celebrations. There was every 50 years a year of Jubilee that was a year of celebration. God was clearly telling us that we need to celebrate. We need to experience joy. C.S. Lewis has said that joy is the serious business of heaven. And the joy of heaven can be present in our lives as we rest, as we refuel, as we take the opportunity to press the pause button and celebrate a God who loves us, a God filled with grace and mercy and truth, and a God who offers us forgiveness, and a God who offers us His help on a daily basis, a God who's gifted us with the incredible blessing of living life every day, a God who's blessed us with family and opportunity and all of the things that we enjoy in life. We can go on and on and on. I wonder, when was the last time that you celebrated? I know we celebrate birthdays and anniversaries, and those are good things. But I wonder, when was the last time you celebrated the goodness of God or celebrated the gift of this day or this week, celebrated your family? We have to slow down to celebrate. What an amazing gift, this design of Sabbath and rest. It's God's design, and it's Jesus' invitation, and it is for you, and it is for me. It's an invitation to refuel our souls through worship. It's an invitation to refuel our bodies through rest. So I wonder how you're doing at living in this invitation to rest. I wonder if you'd think about these questions. I wonder if you could honestly look deep within and with the help of the Holy Spirit, just ask yourself, am I honoring God's rhythms of rest and work? Honestly, am I honoring them? And as you wrestle through that thought, I wonder if you'd just be willing to think about what you've celebrated this week. God's desire for you is that you live, so rested and so refueled that celebration and joy is a regular part of your life. I'm going to ask you just to take a moment and thoughtfully and prayerfully pray through those questions. And then I will come back and close us in prayer. God, I thank you so much for the incredible gift of rest and Sabbath that you designed into creation and have designed into us as human beings. We thank you for the invitation that Jesus gives to rest and to experience refreshment and refueling in our souls, in our bodies, in our minds, in our relationships. And God, we desire this. We know that all of us have work to do, activities to be involved in, tasks to be completed. All of us live in this world where things are required of us. But God, we believe that we can be most productive, most creative. We can be at our best in every way if we honor the rhythm of rest and work and activity that you've placed into our lives. It's something that we all need and we long for. It's wired into us. So God, would you help us just to honestly evaluate where we are in these rhythms. And may you help us make some adjustments even this week that might allow us to experience refueling, refocusing, refreshment in ways that we haven't in a long time. And God, would you help us? Would you help us celebrate who you are and the way that you are at work in our world? And God, may you remind us of the way that you even blessed us. Yes, in the middle of a world that sometimes seems a bit crazy and in the middle of a world that sometimes seems out of control, in a world that seems so divisive and filled with hatred. God, right here in this world, you have blessed us with life. You've blessed us with opportunity and all of the wonderful gifts that we have. And so might we take the opportunity as we're resting, as we're working on these rhythms, putting Sabbath into our life, may we celebrate. And as we celebrate you and the gift and blessings that you've given to us, may we find our souls refreshed and our bodies refueled. I pray this would be true for each of us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.